be irulau. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back, watch your back. A chance is gonna get you. Watch your back, watch your back.
Oh, there's a chance is gonna get you. Watch your back. It's a coming from the yesterday. Watch your back. Gotta wash those red hands. Watch your back. It's the crimes of the past lands. It's the crimes of the past lands.
Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Julie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Not bad.
It's nice. It's nice to be back on the floor.
It is. I don't think we ever said that we actually sit cross-legged
on the floor. Mm-hmm. Yep. So sometimes that's why we need to take breaks so we can stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah. Any excuse. Any excuse to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Get some more drink.
Smoke break.
Yeah.
Shall we head
into
the story?
Shall we talk about our drink?
Oh, yeah.
We're having Chacolí today.
Yes.
Ceruco.
Is the name.
Yep. Ceruco. And it's...
With a Z. Ceruco, if we're...
Biscaico Chacolina. Mm-hmm. And it's from Zamudio.
Yes.
Which is right next door, apparently.
Yeah. To Bilbao. I was, like, checking, because I'm like, I know it's this province. It says Biscaico Chacolina.
Yeah.
But I was like, is it close to the... to the coast or not? No, it's just like over the mountain.
Yeah.
In the same valley as the airport.
Yeah.
But like we could probably go there like catching a train. And
I think I remember the stop on the train.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go. Oh, and we want to thank Judy for our first and only email from
so
a listener.
Nice. So nice. Very sweet.
Thank you, Judy.
Lovely little mail.
Yeah. She said she really enjoyed the Spain Stoma Baby episode.
Mm.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you so much for sending
us an email.
It was very sweet.
If you want to send us an email.
Please do.
crimesofthebasquelands@gmail.com.
It's still our email.
We love to read emails.
We did let our website lapse, yeah. I'm afraid.
See, because we're not very good at that stuff. So, are we ready to get into our story for this week?
I know only the title, which I have forgotten. Something about heads.
Head games.
It's very abstract. I have no idea what that means yet.
You'll get it soon enough.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm scared already.
I think you know this story.
Oh, I think I know. It's one of those... I think it's clicked now.
We've discussed it before.
But it's also one of those that... It doesn't matter if you're into true crime or not. If you live in the Basque Country for long enough, you're going to hear about this story.
Yeah, people are talking about it.
So,
and it's pretty recent.
Yeah, and it would be cool to like learn proper details. Because it's always like, I think, I heard, blah, blah, blah.
Right, lots of rumors.
Yeah, so let's get to the bottom of
this. To the dirty business.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I'm scared. So this is not very mother safe. Hashtag mom safe.
No, it's kind of
so
not.
We're just warning people. It might get a little bit graphic, right?
So yeah, I guess my disclaimer would be there's murder.
There's a murder. Ooh, hold on to your chapalas, guys.
Yeah. So yeah, hang on. All right, so my sources were like a online paper called La Voz.
Mm.
And I think it was out of Cadiz.
Right. Far away.
I am. El Plural. Never heard of them.
Me neither.
El Periódico.
Another newspaper.
Yeah. AITV. Mm. AITV.
The local broadcaster.
And La Vanguardia, again.
Another.
They always have like...
More well-known.
Yeah. My one-sentence synopsis for this. Horror in a small town erupts when one curious resident must find out for herself what's in the box.
Oh my gosh. I like it. It's already a movie or a series.
Okay. So you ready?
Yep.
All right. So in early April of 2019, a woman residing with her husband on Santa Ana Street in the small Cantabrian town of Castro Urdales opened her door to her friend and neighbor, Mari Carmen Merino, known as Mamen to those close to her. So Mamen, I'm going to be referring to as either Carmen or Mamen throughout. Okay. Mamen was there to ask for a favor. In her hands, she held a gift wrapped box complete with a bow. She had a rather strange request for her friend. She wondered if it would be possible to store the box at her house for the time being. Of course, this friend inquired as to what was going on. She wanted to help her friend, you know, considering how depressed she'd been since her partner had left her. Mm. In fact, this was precisely the reason for her visit. Mamen's partner, Jesus Mari Baranda, had left her in February, and his family, unable to make contact with him, had asked the Guardia Civil, or the Civil Guard, to make a welfare check on him at the home where he and Mamen had been living for the last 7 years. It was in anticipation of this visit from the police that Mamen needed a little favor from her friend. She asked, "Could you hold on to this box for me? And the Civil Guard is coming to the house, and Jesus had some sex toys in this box, and I don't want them to find them.
Well,
I don't want them to get the wrong impression."
Yeah.
So her friend naturally agreed that she was right and that it would be terribly shameful.
Wow.
To be discovered having such items in your house.
I guess they're elderly. These days, yeah. Though, I think it would be a... You'd almost be asking people to open that box if you say that to, like, somebody under 40, I don't know, 50, 60. I mean, I think...
What do you mean, asking someone to open it?
Like
the police?
No, I'm saying, like, to a standard up to, I'm going to go up to 55-ish, even 60-year-old person in the Basque Country, if you tell them somebody had sex toys and it's in this box, they're going to be opening that box immediately.
They're going to have a look at what you got.
Yeah. I'm thinking if they're much older, I can see why they're like a little bit, you know, oh, maybe shouldn't open the box. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I think most of the people we hang out with, we know, oh, what are those sex toys that...
Yeah, what are they so like? Shameful? What are they into? Yeah. Do we have any, what are they called? Butt beads
butt
or what?
Plugs,
butt plugs.
There's so many things. Yeah, beads are another thing.
All right, so Mamen handed the box over to her friend and left. This neighbor put the box in the closet of her guest room, and there it stayed until September of the same year.
So this is like 4 or 5 months?
No, like almost 8 months.
Okay, thank you, because I'm terrible at time. Okay, that's a long time.
Well, no, wait, it was April, beginning of April, April, May, June, July, August, September. So 6 months.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So the couple's friends, you know, the friend that had put this box in her guest room, mm-hmm. they had friends and relatives who would stay in that guest room mm-hmm, for that, mm-hmm. that period of time, for those 6 months. But something was starting to stink in that guest room, and it seemed to be coming from that box in the closet. On Saturday, September 28th, 2019, at 2 a.m., she finally decided to open the box. So she must have been doing some deep cleaning.
Yeah,
late at night.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Or having a couple glasses of wine and like, I'm going to open that damn box.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So she removed the wrapping paper and opened it. Inside was something wrapped in several layers of plastic garbage bags. Once those were removed, she pulled out an object wrapped in what seemed to be an entire roll of aluminum foil.
Oh.
Once this foil casing was unraveled, it revealed to her absolute horror what had laid inside her home all those months. It was a human head in an advanced state of decomposition, practically a skull.
Yeah.
She and her husband immediately called the police to report the discovery. Within minutes, the police arrived, along with an ambulance, to attend to the couple who were in serious state of shock.
Yeah.
Before being transported to the Cotolinos Health Center in town, she told police where the box had originated. She had given her buddy, Mari Carmen, a ring, or Carmen, or Mamen, mm-hmm. to tell her that they had opened the box, to which Mamen replied, "I'm going there right now." Her friend responded with, "There's no need. They're coming for you."
Ooh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
What town was this in again?
In Castro.
Castro, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Castro. Should we talk about Castro?
Yeah, because I'm still waiting for the Basque connection.
Well, but you'll find out.
Because Castro is just over the border.
It's just over the border in Cantabria.
Cantabria, yes.
Right. It's like, so borders with Biscaya.
Yeah.
And
if you just go west from here, it would probably be the first.
Right. And it's like
town.
A 40-minute drive from Bilbao.
It's nothing.
Yeah. So lots of people from Bilbao have their holiday homes there or their like summer houses.
Yeah.
Or even people live there and commute to Bilbao to work.
Yeah. I mean, you can
get like properties a lot cheaper there as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can get like a garden and a house instead of an apartment.
Right.
But then again, you got the commute, so.
Right. And it's pretty. It's like a coastal town, so it's mm-hmm. got big beaches and
yeah.
It's nice. It's a nice town. another neighborhood of Bilbao. No, just kidding. Some people joke that it is.
They totally do. They totally do.
And of course, the people from Castro hate that. If they're from Castro.
Yeah, my grandparents, well, they lived in this little town called Lockerbie, close to the border with England in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was an adolescent, I think I was probably 18 or something like that, this study came out that just showed, like, all over the world, the closer you get to the border, the more nationalist you are.
Oh.
So it definitely spoke about my grandfather. He was very Scottish.
Okay.
And I just feel that so much here in Bilbao because we're mm-hmm. so close to the border and we get very nationalist people, right? Both sides of it, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm
right,
like, it's that same study I read from when I was adolescent and it hasn't changed.
Not much has changed.
No.
Okay, so Maria Carmen Merino. Mm-hmm. She was born in Utrera, Seville. Mm-hmm. She's the eldest of five sisters.
Way south in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
How many sisters did you say?
Five. Her family moved to Cadiz, where she spent most of her childhood. Her father was a member of the National Police Force and was assigned to work up in Bilbao. Mm-hmm. So the family transferred up north. Okay. After she moved out of her parents' home, she relocated to Cadiz once again. Mm-hmm. And there she met her husband. They had two children, a boy and a girl. However, this marriage didn't last, and the couple divorced soon after their children had grown and moved out. Mm-hmm. Her ex-husband later died of natural causes, I might add, mm-hmm. And she decided to return to the north about 10 years before handing that smelly box over to her friend.
Okay.
So by this time, her father had retired from the National Police and had taken over a bar restaurant called La Ceramica in the center of Castro. She worked there as a waitress until her family passed the establishment on to another owner. And then Carmen went on to work in another bar on Ostende Beach called La Revancha. Mm-hmm. And this is where she met her future partner, Jesus Mari Baranda. Mm-hmm. He would go there for breakfast most mornings and was charmed by his waitress, Mamen. By then, Carmen, or Mamen, had settled into her life in Castro and become very involved in a local club in town, the Casa Andalucía. Mm-hmm. There she made friends while dancing Sevillanas on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8. Mm.
I'd add just that, like, because of industrialization in the Basque Country and it being a very kind of industrialized era, we've had so many immigrants coming from Spain,
mm-hmm.
and this kind of association is super common here. So we have Casas de Galicia, Casas de...
Yeah.
I can't think of any other right now.
Where you can meet others from the regions.
Yeah,
where you...
Asturias and Andalucía. Yeah, they're super typical.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of a thing of that era, right? They're still alive, but they're not...
Yeah, but it's usually
really
like people
thriving.
That are older that are going to these things.
They're on their way out.
To remember their... childhood or their, you know,
those connections, that community. Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, they still do some things, the ones that are open, and sometimes you can get to hear either the music from that area or taste some food from that area, and it's mm-hmm. it's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's a fun little cultural thing in
different
regions.
Yeah. So it was a friend from La Casa Andalucía that made the formal introduction of Carmen to Jesus. And as they say, sparks flew between the pair.
Nice.
So they hit it off so well that she was soon living at his house in Castro. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a retired bank employee of Banco Santander, and he grew up in the San Ignacio neighborhood of Bilbao.
Oh.
And throughout his career, he worked in different branches in and around Vizcaya. So there you go, Douglas. There is our Basque
connection. Yes, I'm happy. I mean, his surname is ambiguous.
He's a Basque.
I couldn't tell where his surname is from, but it might not even
I mean,
be Basque.
He too could be from immigrants that came north.
Exactly. Of course,
you know?
Of course.
Because San Ignacio is pretty, like, the housing there is quite
precarious.
Not precarious, like. You know, those blocks of flats that are just, like, for whoever's working in the factories.
Right.
You know, like, they build those houses for all the employees at the factories that were nearby.
Is that... Because I never know which ones are Francoists or... Cause he
I don't know.
Cause he
but
built,
they all look the same.
Well, I mean, the thing with the Francoist homes is that he built a lot of homes for workers,
mm-hmm.
but like especially here in the Basque Country, they're just really crappy because it's not built for the cold, you know.
Yeah.
And so they're really thin, and you know, might work somewhere else, but here they just got that thing of being really crappy, you know, just buildings. They're cute. Cute.
I don't think they're cute at all. They look like a communist country.
They are, but I mean, I just
like... There's like no personality. They're just basic.
Super
somewhere
basic.
To live. Yeah.
Super basic.
Yeah.
And I just...
So to me, that's kind of San Ignacio. No offense to people that live in San Ignacio, because... Okay, so he was also divorced, and he also had two children.
Mm-hmm.
According to his friends and family, he was estranged from his former wife and his children. So he was, you know, he divorced his wife, so that makes sense that he'd be not really talking to her. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, apparently he was estranged from his children.
It's a shame.
Yeah. So he was an eligible bachelor on the scene in Castro when he met Carmen. The new couple, they spent most of their time together. They could be seen walking Mamin's dog through the town, or they would travel a lot together. So nice. They were just enjoying their lives.
Couples, right?
So they also spent a lot of time on their separate interests, you know? So they weren't like totally codependent, you know, as far as, yeah.
And yet. There's a box.
It all went terribly wrong. So Mamin, of course, she spent a lot of time over with her friends from the Casa Andalucía, her dancing pals.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus regularly hung out with his buddies in both Castro and those from Bilbao. So he was often going to Bilbao to hang out with his friends there or family. But they seem to have found love, you know, later in their lives.
That's beautiful.
And they were just enjoying their time together.
Should have been beautiful.
So this was until, according to Mamin, Jesus just up and left her.
Okay.
Yep. So should we take a break?
We're back.
Hello.
And it's
back in business.
And the thing is moving.
Okay, so in April of 2019, Jesus's relatives contacted the Guardia Civil to report Jesus missing.
Yes.
So the police got in touch with, at the time, 61-year-old Mamin to inform her that relatives of her 67-year-old partner Jesus were concerned for his well-being. She explained that he had abandoned her without explanation in February and had taken $12,000 in cash and told her they didn't love her anymore. So this lined up with what Jesus's family had said, that they hadn't heard directly from Jesus since February either. They had only received some cryptic and like uncharacteristic messages from him. The last time anyone had seen him was on February 11th for a weekly lunch with his friends in Baracaldo. Baracatown.
Neighborhood.
Can never think of Baracaldo the same again.
It's a municipality just north of Bilbao.
Yeah, it comes up all the time in this.
It's got a big population. They used to have more population than Bilbao.
Yeah, and I guess because the hospital's there, everybody's born there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So everything, you know, was routine as usual when he went to have this lunch.
Looking good on paper, yeah.
Yeah, like he went to have his lunch with his buddies and maybe his cousin or something.
Right.
Then they went to a place called Barnica to play a game of moose. Moose, do you want to explain moose?
I don't actually. It's a kind of card game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you use the Spanish deck of cards and they... Yep. I have no idea how to play it either. But it's very popular among elderly men.
Yes, and very Basque, I think. I don't know if it's very popular outside the Basque country.
I don't either. But
I think it's very Basque.
I'm not sure. I don't want to be the authority on that, but maybe.
Like maybe Asturias does it too, yeah. But it is one of the main games that older guys would play.
Yeah.
Mm. And cards, if you're doing cards here.
Yeah. Because they have their own deck of cards, the Spanish deck of cards. Okay, so the following week, apparently this was like a regular lunch date that he had with friends. So the following week on February 18th, they received a WhatsApp messages from Jesus apologizing for not being able to attend the lunch that week, but to have a good time without him.
Okay.
In the week that followed, his friends and family called or messaged Jesus, but received no response. So his cousin Carlos decided to call Carmen. Mm-hmm. She told him that Jesus was in Galicia with his friends from the bank and that he wasn't responding to their calls because his phone was broken. Mm-hmm. Later on, Mamen provided Jesus's relatives with a new number for her phone that she had bought for him, and they began sending messages to him there. However, the answers they received only came in text, and they were very brief. His cousin Carlos recalls one such message, quote, "I'm fine. I'll be up soon." I'm assuming up as in I'll be in Bilbao soon. Another one came in saying, "Hello, cousin. Don't worry about me. This is very nice. When I come back, I'm going to take Carmen." Upon receiving this message, he called Carmen to ask where he was traveling, and she said she didn't know. Maybe Normandy?
Okay.
Yeah. Another, yeah, I don't know. But I... Another friend, Javier, was also getting desperate to speak to Jesus directly. After sending many texts to Jesus, he received a message saying, "Stay calm. I'm being apathetic." He replied, "It takes you a second to call me. Until I talk to you, I'm not going to be calm." Cousin Carlos was also fed up without any face-to-face or at least voice-to-voice interaction and sent an ultimatum on April 2nd. His text read, quote, "If by Monday you don't send us a voice message so we can hear that you are well, we will go to the civil guard. Mm. I don't believe anything until I hear your voice," end quote. He received no reply.
So how many months is this, more or less? That's
about 2 weeks. So
okay.
So the last time anyone saw him was February 11th. Mm-hmm. And then they got a message on the 18th saying he wasn't going to make it to the lunch. Mm-hmm. And
a week later, they're already...
Since the 11th, really, nobody talked to him.
I'm impressed that they're escalating so fast.
Yeah. Mm. But that was in April. So all of March.
Okay. So it's been a couple of months now.
So about a month and a half.
Okay.
Of trying to get in touch with him.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I go quiet for a long time, so.
Yeah. Stay calm. I'm being apathetic. Do you say things like
no,
that?
No, that's a new one. I'll have to try that one.
Stay calm. I'm being apathetic. Apathetic. Now, granted, that's a direct translation.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm not sure in English we would say it quite the same.
Oh, I can guarantee you we would not.
I'm being introverted. I'm being, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just need some time. Okay, so he received no reply, and so he went to the police. When the police questioned Carmen about his whereabouts, she suggested that perhaps he was in Galicia. But another relative had told police that when they called her, she had said he had left because he had stopped loving her and that he had taken 12,500 euros and that he would be in Punta Cana with some hookers.
Classic. Yeah. Classic.
When your man leaves you, it's when he's 67, that is what he's doing.
He goes to Punta Cana.
To be with hookers.
To be with hookers.
Okay, so the family of Jesus implored the police to look further into his disappearance, adding a new detail that amplified their concern. They told the police that they had their own set of keys to Jesus's home, and they had tried to access his house to have a look around themselves, only to find that Carmen had changed the locks.
Ooh.
But I also think that's kind of ballsy. Like, she lives there.
They don't know that
I wouldn't Carmen want family members to show up with their set of keys and just come on into the house to look around.
True, but also...
It's very nosy. Like, I don't know.
But they're only...
Well, they're concerned, obviously.
They were concerned. But, yeah. They might not even ever come without warning, right?
Like, yeah.
I have your keys. I'm not going to turn up at your house.
Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't answering you and you didn't know and mom was being all weird...
Then do I have the permission to use your keys?
And have a look around, see if you see any blood.
I'll look
anywhere.
For boxes, Julie. I'll look for boxes.
Look for boxes. No, all you'd need to do is have a look around to see if it look had been tidied up at all.
No, if it's tidy,
if it's
you're
tidy,
alive.
I'm alive.
We're lucky Bobby doesn't listen to the podcast. Yes.
Is the laundry done?
Okay, that's
those
the
are
key.
The things
that's
you
want to
look for.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just being apathetic.
When you're being apathetic, you do the laundry, right?
I mean, I'm always on top of the housekeeping, so.
Nice, nice.
I mean, I guess I'd have to be really down to stop doing housekeeping. So I don't know. Maybe that's not.
But then if I find you crying...
No, listen. If it's not tidy...
In the bed, that's great news.
Maybe I am being apathetic and I'm just depressed and I don't want to clean. But that's a sign that you're like, this is... Maybe I should talk to the police and just say, you know, she's usually very tidy. So I don't know if that's anything you want to look into.
Honey, if I go into your house with your keys while Bobby's working, I'm going to look in all the rooms. Make sure if you're alive, I'll see you.
Yeah. Is the bed made?
So you'll be like all sad in your bed, like watching some TV series. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. I told you I was being apathetic.
I didn't realize it was true that you're being apathetic.
Just checking. Just checking.
Oh, I see you're apathetic.
I just brought you some soup.
Oh, I'd make up an excuse. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It'll sound good.
But I appreciate that you go have a look if you haven't heard from me.
Well, now that I have permission.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
So the police, you know, thought, okay, that does sound strange.
She's already started inconsistency. She should have decided to tell everybody that.
Yeah.
He left her in February and stick to that story. She's already starting to send different messages to different people. That's how you get caught, guys. Come on.
And I just heard a stat today that in terms of your, how am I going to put this? It sounds somewhat intelligent. That at 2 points in your life, your brain stops working well, or it's you have drastic changes in how well your brain functions.
Okay.
It's at 45, aging. Don't like tell me things that. Like I know. So it's like aging starts happening. It's
next year for me. Fuck you.
I've already been there. So I'm already here.
Is it true, Julie?
So 45 no! and at 60. And so she's 61 at the time of this.
Okay.
So those are the 2 points where your brain drastically ages or something.
Oh, don't say that.
I know. Well, I just heard that today. I don't know.
So have you...
You know, these scientists, they say things all the time to make you freak out.
Have you drastically aged since you were 45?
Well, I did notice at 45 that my eyesight definitely changed.
Oh, yeah.
Almost overnight.
That's happened.
I had to start holding things away from my face. Oh, yeah.
I've got that problem.
Almost immediately when I turned 45. Okay. It was so odd. It was like clockwork. So let's see what happens at 60. I'll let you know.
Well, I got my glasses. I'll keep you updated
if I remember, because by then my brain won't be working very well. So let's see if I remember to fill you in on how my brain function is.
But I did get glasses this year, so.
You did? Where are your glasses? Let's see. Oh, cute. Just reading glasses?
Yeah, I don't look good in them. It's just for reading.
I think you do. You look rather smart. Look how intelligent Douglas looks. So, you know, his friends and relatives just kept, you know, begging the police to look into it. They Good insisted that he's a man of habit who rarely changes his routine and much less so without informing anyone to what he's up to.
I described to that.
So the police did look into it a little more. They analyzed the security footage around the home that Jesus and Carmen had shared for the past 7 years on Padre Basabi Street. Mm-hmm. And they found no signs of him. Mm-hmm. They also looked into his bank movements, and they saw that there'd only been activity in and around Castro. Mm-hmm. So if he were off traveling, as Carmen had been telling people, or had left Carmen to go live his life somewhere else, there would be some sign of that, right? Mm-hmm. His relatives told police that Carmen had access to his accounts, so purchases and withdrawals could have been done by her. Mm-hmm. He also hadn't taken his car with him, which they determined to be quite odd. She seemed to be living her life as normal. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. They asked her if she'd heard anything from him, and she said that she received text messages on WhatsApp from him, but when they asked to see her phone, she said she dropped it in the toilet.
Sorry.
And it no longer worked. So that's twice she said these toilets have fallen in the... or these phones have fallen in the toilet. Oh. Remember she told the other cousin that it fell in the toilet? Oh, phone?
I just noticed she bought a new one. I didn't realize that...
Yeah, she said his phone dropped in the toilet, and now when the cops asked to see her phone, she said she didn't have it because it fell in the toilet.
Lazy.
But it's true. Everybody has their fucking phone in the toilet.
No, but they also hit the ground. They also fall in a river. I don't know. Other excuses, you know?
Yeah.
Fell into the gutter. Different excuses, guys.
The gutter.
No?
A puddle. Yeah.
I lost it. It fell in the river. It's too heavy. I can't open the thing.
Yeah.
No. Great excuse.
So they informed Carmen that they would be getting a police order to have a look around the house. Upon hearing this, she brought the gift wrap package to her friend.
It's true. I remember that part. Yeah.
And her neighbor for safekeeping. After searching the home and failing to find anything that would incriminate her for his disappearance, they hit a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
That is, until her buddy opened that box.
Oh my gosh. Intenso.
Yeah, yeah. So she was doing pretty well, getting away with it.
They
couldn't find anything on her.
Yeah, but she should have been, I don't know, getting that money for like 6 months and then left to Mexico, because you're not going to get away with it forever.
Well,
what does she think?
Well,
you think she's okay?
Just wait.
Holding on to my chipilla.
Hold on to your chipilla.
I'm feeling
it. Carmen had a plan.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So
exciting.
So her friend. Her friend is also called Mari Carmen, which always makes everything so complicated. Why is it every story they have the same name? So many characters in the story have the same name.
So as long as we don't have friends that are own name,
I'm going to refer to her as Carmen.
We're not.
But her friend that opened the box was called. Was named Mari Carmen. Okay?
No, just say Carmen too. But I guess you're already written. Carmen too. Anywho, that's how I'm going to ask you about.
She'll come up a few times.
Oh, was that Carmen too? Okay.
So, Mari Carmen, the friend neighbor
okay.
that had the box. She'd opened Pandora's box.
Oh, that, they're all.
Gave Carmen okay. up to the police.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
That's Carmen too, is the box says, I opened the box, Carmen.
Yeah.
Just for the other listeners.
Sorry. So she gave them her name. They had a name, Maria Carmen Merino. And they quickly put together that this was the very woman whose partner had gone missing last February. An irate Mari Carmen had already contacted Carmen, and she was on her way over.
I mean, also, why the fuck do you leave that box there for so many months? Just take it home, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Go pick it back up, yeah.
That's...
So both women were transferred to the health clinic to be treated for shock. So both had to be transported. Because she came over to the house.
Understandable.
They were both like freaking out. So they first sent them both.
Don't send them to the same health hospital. Center.
Yeah, they probably just kept fighting.
Right? Oh my gosh.
So the police sent the head in, or the skull, practically skull.
Ugh.
Yeah. In for DNA testing and forensic examination.
Mm-hmm.
The story Carmen gave to police was rather bizarre. She said that someone had left the box on her doorstep, and she kept it to have something to remember him by.
Like,
so this is what she said to police.
Yeah, without opening it.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is what she said to the police when she showed up at her friend's house and the cops were there.
Okay.
Weird, right?
Oh, yes.
She said she was worried that Jesus had been involved in something sketchy, and this was payback or perhaps a warning to her, so she didn't contact authorities. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like now with that phrase or two, it sounds like she knew what was in the box, right?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Sexual.
Oh my gosh. That is so weird.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay, so she was officially arrested on October 2nd, and the courts agreed to hold her in provisional detention and without bail at the El Dueso prison in Santoña while the investigation continued. Santoña is where we did stay in a rural house.
Okay.
Which is right outside of Castro.
Which is why I thought it was Castro.
Okay, so the DNA testing verified that the head in the box did indeed belong to Jesus Mari Baranda. The head was at first thought to have been boiled before it was wrapped in foil.
My gosh.
But it had actually been burned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Furthermore, detectives discovered that in February of that year, Miss Merino had been complaining of back problems and had contacted a cleaner to come to her house to help her with some domestic chores.
What month was this again?
In February. So, during the investigation, they're like asking around, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She instructed this person to remove some very heavy black garbage bags.
Oh my God.
In the bag? Okay. She explained that she had changed out all the soil in her house plants, and the bags were too heavy for her to lift and transport to the landfill. The house cleaner then called a friend to help her remove the bags for Carmen. They explained that the bags had been placed at the entrance of the house and that moving them and loading them into Jesus's car was really difficult for them. The agents were deployed to the Meruelo landfill. So that's the local landfill. And they were with cadaver dogs, but they could find no human remains now almost, you know.
Yeah, months later.
8 months later.
Like, it's so rubbishy. Everything is
February, March, stinking. April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, about 8 months later. Or almost October, right? So they also searched the flat on Pedro Basabe Street with the assistance of dogs, and they did find 5 bloodstains in the house. Additionally, they found 10,000 euros hidden in a sofa bed. Okay. So maybe she was getting ready for that escape to Mexico.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Wow. So, this woman is strong to like, she must have cut that guy up.
Exactly.
My gosh.
That is what's crazy.
Yeah, right? It's crazy.
A 60-something-year-old woman.
Yeah, she's like, I've cooked before. Heck, heck, heck.
No problem. Yeah. She's had to, like, prepare a chicken, you know?
I can tell you, debone a chicken. I cannot do that. I can't debone, can't do anything.
Yeah. So they also seized his car, but they couldn't find any, like, forensic evidence there.
Okay.
They did a forensic search of Carmen's computer.
Okay.
And revealed the purchase of an electric saw with 2 blades.
Wow.
One of the blades was 16 centimeters long and the other was 32 centimeters long.
Okay.
It appeared that after this purchase of those, that saw, and then sometimes referred to as a chainsaw, she had searched online, quote, how to unclog a chainsaw.
Oh my gosh. Oh my.
I know. Gosh. I'm laughing because I. Okay, and so another online search that they found was, quote, how long does it take for a corpse to decompose?
Oh my gosh.
So this was all around the time that police believed Jesus had disappeared.
And I bet she never even cleared her history. They didn't even have to, like,
ask Google. We'll find out later that she did make an effort.
Oh, good for her.
So this is like, you know, those forensic ones where they can pull up shit after you've tried to.
Get rid
of everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Like, well, I mean, there's so many ways to do that, right?
Right. Like, they have their ways of finding things. So
Forensic IT people.
Yeah. So police delved into Mamen's past and uncovered some shady incidents.
Oh.
It was reported in El Faro de Vigo. Vigo is a town in Galicia.
Yep. Far west from here.
That Mari Carmen was reported to police in 2013 and 2017. So during this time that she was with Jesus.
Okay.
Right? Because they were together, like at least living together for 7 years. And this is 2019.
Yeah.
So she was reported to police for scamming money from lovesick men.
Oh my gosh. Look
the
at
two,
this.
Yeah. The two men involved claimed that Mamen had convinced them to loan her some money, which she never returned. So I don't know if anything ever came of it. These are just things that kind of came up.
Sure.
I'm not sure if they ever got their money back or if she ever was arrested. It just said that she'd been reported to police for these things. So, in addition, down in Cádiz, she was accused of entering her aunt's home and stealing some bank documents along with 300 euros cash.
Wow.
It appears as though the cash and banking documents that she stole they belonged to her aunt's partner, whom she was living with at the time. The pair, the aunt and her partner, broke up, and then Mamen went to live with her aunt, and the two women defrauded this man of 6,600 euros. So that's what they found out in her past.
She's learning how to do these things, you can see there. Oh my gosh.
Her neighbor said that Mamen had shared details of their domestic life, or her domestic life with Jesus, including the fact that Jesus was unable to sleep in their shared bed and was allocated to the couch in the living room.
Oh, man.
They also said that in the months following his absence, Mamen had friends and relatives over to the house, like to stay over with her there in Castro. And it was as if everything was normal. So all this time he's gone, she's just, you know, living her life. Wow. Her friends down at the Casa Andalucía were shocked by the arrest. They told investigators that she'd always been on the chubby side.
Okay.
But in February, she started losing a significant amount of weight. When they asked her how she was doing, concerned about this sudden weight loss, she told them about her partner's desertion of her and added that her daughter had also been battling a serious illness.
Good excuses.
Mm-hmm. She appeared to be very depressed. Others said that she was an ordinary woman, but that she would sometimes have depressive spells and that she would take medication for it. So they would check in on her from time to time, and she would say that she was just getting by.
Mm.
When they inquired about reporting Jesus missing, she told them that she had tried to, but that the police had told her to hold off. But she never really did report him.
No, but that's contradictory anyway.
Until she was like forced to when his family.
Oh.
Right?
Okay. But then
so like between then and...
She never really went there though, right?
Went.
Like there's no evidence that she did.
She actually like went to, yeah, to file. Yeah. So I think that maybe she did like kind of like, like verified that he was missing when the police came the first time in April.
Right. As in, oh, I haven't seen him.
I haven't seen him. He left me. I don't know where he is.
Well, that if that's all she did.
So then that would be... So he was considered a missing person from that point on. So one particular action that had caught investigators' attention was the revelation that in February of 2019, Mumman had begun handing out homemade croquetas.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. My comments earlier were not planning on this coming up. Oh, my gosh.
Homemade croquetas. We all know what croquetas are. They're like a bechamel with meat or fish or something.
Then fried.
And then fried. Very popular here in the Basque Country.
Oh, my gosh.
She began handing out homemade croquetas to her neighbors and her friends at the Casa Andalucía.
Oh, my gosh.
Something she'd never done previously. And post-arrest, the rumor mill, like, took off when people looked back on these gifts with horrified suspicion.
Oh, my gosh.
However, police do not believe that these croquetas were made from the remains of Jesus.
I think they are. They're just saying that not to create...
Just not to freak everyone out.
I think they totally were. So clearly.
So your chapella has officially flown off.
Oh, it's
the police are telling you just put it back on.
It's in North
America.
Put
your chapella back on. It's fine. Nothing to see here.
No, it's going out of the solar system by now.
Yeah, that's pretty dark, right?
So basically, if we go to Casa Andalucía,
do some investigative work.
These guys have all eaten humans.
They're all cannibals. Well,
that's the word, cannibal. Oh my gosh.
My God, right?
Wow.
I mean, yeah. Because
all those,
cause I just have
all
to,
those vegetarians going, yes, like, I'm, you know, free.
I've been living with, you know, whenever I write these stories, I'm like living with it for a while. So I just think about them.
Yeah.
You know.
Randomly.
You know, over the course of the time while I'm writing it. And I'm just like imagining her having to a 60-year-old woman dismembering a body, you know, like by herself and then maybe making croquetas. I don't know.
She totally did.
Yeah, hard to say. But these are kind of the things that were coming up in the press, and this is why we
I
heard
remember
about the story,
that.
Right?
Yeah, I remember hearing it. And it's
because we heard the whole rumor mill, because probably all the papers were like, as it was developing, the story was developing, these things were coming out, right? That's
totally, they totally... I'm amazed nobody had some croquetas frozen and...
they'd saved?
Right?
Cause, yeah, maybe.
Because they give you croquetas and you can... I mean, maybe they were not... Mm-hmm. They were already fried.
Yeah, because, that happens a lot.
Because
my mother-in-law does that. She makes a batch and then freezes a bunch of them.
And they keep forever. Because
they take forever to make.
Yeah. And if you suddenly get a present of, like, 20 croquetas, you're not going to eat them 20, so...
Yeah, like, who eats 20 croquetas
in
one sitting?
And so it's kind of surprising that there were none left over.
Yeah, it was months after the fact, too.
In a fridge somewhere. Like, if she took it to the association...
Yeah, you would think someone. Yeah, you'd think someone.
If they took it to the association, I can see it. If that's the only way she got rid of them, sure. Because nobody's going to take them home from the association. You're going to either eat them there, throw them in rubbish afterwards.
Mm.
Maybe somebody takes them home and eats them at home, but they're not going to go in the freezer. But yeah. If they're like, if she's giving them to anybody else...
Like friends and... Yeah, they said it was their and neighbors.
So the neighbor, like, I can't see them not... Some neighbor not putting it in the freezer for some time, you know?
Yeah, true. True. Maybe somebody did, and that's why the police felt confident enough to say
no. But then they would have said that
it was probably some other elderly woman or man that was like, I don't know if these were the ones she gave me. I've got all these croquettes in the freezer. You know what I mean?
Test,
like, maybe you don't label
DNA.
All your croquettes.
Yeah. No, but they usually are, because you remember. Well, yeah. It's
possible
you mix them up.
I could also see somebody doing that, yeah.
You mix them up.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember if these are the ones, but anyway. So, the police were speaking with people that were close to the couple and began to form a motive for the crime.
Mm-hmm.
About Carmen, the friends and relatives of Jesus didn't have many nice things to say about her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe at this time, after her arrest. You wouldn't, but
right, yeah.
You know, his cousin Alfonso Ricondo said she was complicated, always in a bad mood. She was rude to him in public.
Oh.
But most agreed on one thing, and that was that he was crazy about her and acquiesced to her every demand.
Oh.
And he treated her like a queen.
Oh.
They also attested to the fact that he received a very good pension from his years at the bank. And that she had free access to all his accounts.
Wow.
And it was clear to them that she was most definitely dependent on him financially. After his disappearance in February, his pension payments continued to roll in, and she helped herself often. Police discovered that Jesus was estranged from his children, and that he had recently updated his will, leaving the bulk of his estate to Mamen.
Oh my gosh.
His cousin Carlos recalled that once the two got together, he said she stopped working, and he added, Jesus was well off and she didn't lack for anything.
Mm.
One relative speculated he hadn't told us anything, but he may have been thinking of leaving her and she depended on him financially.
Mm.
The judicial investigation finally settled on financial gain as her motive. On the day of her arrest, she was out at the hairdresser's getting her hair done. She was never seen without her hair and nails on point, just in time for her mugshot.
I think this is a good point to
pause.
Wrap it up for this episode, and we'll go into the trial for next episode. That sounds
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. Shall we tell
yeah.
a little outro?
So, yeah, well, next crime? Episode we'll go to the trial and everything about what Mamen has to face.
Yeah, let's see what new stuff comes out. This is
yeah.
every turn
juicy.
Of the corner. We're. I was avoiding certain adjectives, Julie. Well done, well done.
So, do you have any mini crime time for this week?
So, well, we had fiestas recently,
mm-hmm.
Hayak in Basque.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying it was quite fun.
Yeah.
I mean...
But there's always some crimes.
There were. I mean, I'm happy not to have suffered any personally.
I did.
You did? You want to get into it?
You were with me, remember? Someone opened the pocket of my bag.
Oh, I remember that.
And then they stuck their hand in and probably were digging around for a wallet or a phone or something. But
and
they knocked out all my shit from my pocket, which was my little mirror and my lip.
So you lost those things?
Yeah.
But
and
then
my toilet paper.
But they didn't find the wallet.
No, because I'm not that stupid.
Nice. Okay.
I'm very good about guarding my important things.
I remember at some point you were like, somebody was in my bag.
Someone was in my fucking bag.
But that's
all.
And
they knocked out all this shit from my bag. And I was like, God damn it.
That's a real crime.
It is. Because I like that little mirror. I had got it from the Guggenheim. And it was like a little cute little mirror that you just have in your... Because, you know, check
your... Did we look around? It wasn't on the floor?
I didn't realize it till later. Like, it probably happened to... Who knows when?
Meters away.
Right. So, that's one. What's another one? What do you got?
It's pretty bad. I mean,
fiestas.
I mean, I have to say I committed a crime as well.
Douglas.
But I met up with a friend of a friend from California.
Mm-hmm.
My friend had forgotten it. This can be counted as a mini crime as well. They had arranged to meet in Bilbao.
Okay.
Inigo, the philosopher, our friend.
Mm-hmm.
He arranged to meet with his friend from California, and then he forgot about it.
He forgot that he was supposed to meet. Yep. Oh no, this so person.
He went to Asturias to meet a girl.
Oh no.
And then he was like, "Oh, you know him," which is true. We've met in California. We met.
Oh, he called you up to like go, "Can you go meet this friend?"
Yeah, but I already knew him.
Okay.
I'd met him here once, and then the first time we met was in Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
Because they met as being teachers in China.
Okay.
So anyway, so he forgot, and I was like, "Yeah, of course, I remember him. It'll be nice to hang out with him." So he was in fiestas. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out, me, him, and Iker for a chunk, and we were chatting. In the end of the day, Iker, another mini crime time. It was only in English. So
all these mini crime times.
He eventually left because you know he didn't speak Castilian, so there was not much we could do.
Yeah.
But then, and so the mini crime time that we both committed was pissing in the river.
Men.
Because everybody was pissing in the river. And he was
not
like,
everybody.
No. But, you know.
Men.
There was a queue
piss
for.
In the river.
There was 10 people waiting for the bathroom. And then there was.
And like 40
the
women.
River. No, because this part, there was only, I think. Was there girls, I think?
See, that's what I hate the most.
Sometimes the girls and
that's
boys are different places.
That's what I hate. They have always way more bathrooms for men than they do for women, and men still pee everywhere else.
We do. Well, this year, I can tell you the girls were everywhere, too. They were
because there's not enough bathrooms.
I'm not counting, but I know that that's definitely the case because there's piss everywhere.
Yeah.
So this time it went into the river, and California guy was like, "Oh, this is so fun. Just stand here and piss in the river." I was like, "Yeah, it's kind of fun."
This is so charming. Yeah.
That was our mini crime.
Okay.
Been a
thanks
pleasure.
For listening. It's mm-hmm. always a pleasure. And thanks for coming back to listen to us for another year
of
Crimes of the Basklands.
Yeah.
Contact us on Gmail or crimesofthebasklands@gmail.com.
Yep.
And you can also follow us on Instagram.
We are on Instagram.
Follow our podcast. That really helps us. Or rate and review it. That mm-hmm. also helps us.
Really helps.
And yeah, that's it.
And I want to like address a little issue that some of our listeners might have had, might not know they've had, which was the fact that we have somehow two copies of our podcast.
Oh yeah, we have
on...
to deal with that. See, more administration.
What's the name of the thing? Spotify.
Spotify. There's two separate Crimes of the Basklands, and one of them doesn't have all of our updated episodes.
So we're aware of that, and we're going to merge them at some point soon, and we're really sorry if this has happened to you.
Yeah, some people are like, "You guys haven't released anything since blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
But we have 30... this is our 33rd episode, so
mm-hmm.
that's how many we have.
We're on... Well, we're probably at 30 released ones, but yeah.
Well, if at the time of listening to this, it's our
33rd that we're recording. Indeed. So, yeah, hope to see you guys for another 33.
Yeah.
You too, Joey.
Yeah, and we'll be back for part two of Head Games.
Yeah. For now, though, we bid you
a goor.
Crimes of the Basklands is written and produced by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia,
and Megan Dooley.
The sound and editing for each episode by
Douglas D. Carvalho.
I'm Megan Dooley.
Theme song written by
Douglas D. Carvalho,
Julie Garcia.
I'm Megan Dooley.
Sung by the choir with no name and produced by Tom Squires. Podcast art by Distinct Signal. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Crimes of the Basklands. And contact us at crimesofthebasklands@gmail.com with story ideas worldwide which have a connection to the Basque Country. Or any rave reviews. If you like our podcast, please subscribe, like, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time,
Agur!